So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 14. Today's sermon is from John 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
ヨハネによる福音書14章15節から21節までを読みします。もしあなた方が私を愛するなら、あなた方は私の戒めを守るはずです。私は父にお願いします。そうすれば父はもう一人の助け主をあなた方にお与えになります。その助け主がいつまでもあなた方と共におられるためにです。その方は真理の御霊です。世はその方を受け入れることができません。世はその方を見もせず知りもしないからです。しかしあなた方はその方を知っています。その方はあなた方と共に住み、あなた方のうちにおられるからです。私はあなた方を捨てて孤児にはしません。私はあなた方のところに戻ってくるのです。今しばらくで世はもう私を見なくなります。しかしあなた方は私を見ます。私が生きるのであなた方も生きるからです。その日には私が父におり、あなた方が私におり、私があなた方におることがあなた方にわかります。私の戒めを保ち、それを守る人は私を愛する人です。私を愛する人は私の父に愛され、私もその人を愛し、私自身を彼に表します。
Morning. How are you doing? I felt actually impressed by the Lord to just pray for Oklahoma. As you know, this past week they were hit again with another tornado, caused a lot of damages, flooding. I don't know if there were as many fatalities, but let's just pray for Oklahoma. I don't know what the Lord is doing in that there right now, but let's just pray for His mercy, Lord. Father, we just come before You and we ask, Lord, that those who are called by Your name in Oklahoma would just begin to, with Your discernment, Lord, do Your works. Father, we just pray for Your peace to come upon the families whose lives has been just turned upside down. And we ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would be with the churches. I know, Lord, there must be a lot of people who normally don't go to church who are in church today. And so we just pray for them, Lord, that they would encounter You in a mighty and powerful way, Lord. We thank You so much for Your grace, Lord. And we just ask that You would extend Your grace to the people in Oklahoma, Father. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been doing a series on honoring. And these past couple weeks, we've been talking about honoring God. Specifically, the Holy Spirit. I think it's easy to honor Jesus, right? Because that's the first person we usually meet when we become Christian, is Jesus. And then we learn about God the Father, the Creator. He created heaven and earth, and If you ever read Jesus' teaching, he always honors the Father. So it's kind of easy to honor Jesus, honor the Father, but what about the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? The Helper. The Helper, amen. Come on, preach it, Toshio. I actually had a dream about you, and I'll share that later. She just reads the word. She don't need me. I'm glad. And the Holy Spirit is also our helper, and he reveals scripture to us. He reminds us of scripture. He talks about that. But I want to talk about honoring God, and just a reminder, Jesus, when he was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" He replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." That's in Matthew 22:36-38. That's the greatest commandment. Most of you know that's not part of the Big Ten commandments. It's actually a commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just so you don't look at the Ten Commandments and say, hey, what's Jesus talking about? It is something commanded in Deuteronomy. And it's actually, you guys are familiar with the Shema. It's a Hebrew word meaning hear, and in Judaism, they have a book of prayer which they recite, and one of them is the Shema, and it starts, "Hear, O Israel, our Lord, our God is one." I forgot how it goes, and then it recites this one, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart," and it's sung. It's actually sung. And so if you ever go to Israel and you hear a Jewish rabbi singing a prayer, this might be one of the songs they are singing. Anyways, today, honoring God is pretty much putting our priorities in order. Putting our priorities in order. If we put God first, Jesus says everything else would follow. You put Him first, and you love Him first, and then you'll be able to rightly love everyone else. Amen. Properly. You'll be able to honor everyone else properly. But if your focus is just on honor, or your focus is simply on love, I believe even though that's a noble thing to do, it won't work out. And hopefully it'll make sense as I speak about this. But, you know, a lot of times maybe we put love first or we put honor first. We need to put God first. When we do that, everything else falls into place. And we need to do that intentionally, because it's not going to happen just automatically. Especially living in America. Or you could live anywhere in the world. Loving God and putting Him first, it's just not in the priority of the world. We need to do it intentionally and intelligently. When we honor God, when we love God, when we put Him first, it has to be the God that's revealed through Scripture. Not a God that we make up on our own. Not a God that we make in our own image. God is a person, and this person is revealed through Scripture. It's not Scripture. I'm not saying this is God, but this will get you to the greatest encounter of God. And it should always lead you to an encounter with God, a transformative encounter with God. I realize this is the Word of God. I understand that. But we need to know the God of the Word. That's what I'm trying to say. That Jesus is a person. God is a person. I know the Word became flesh, but that is a term that John used to describe the ever pervasive force in this world, Logos, the Greek philosophy of Logos, meaning that what your philosophers are talking about is Jesus. Does that make sense? Anyways, Jesus also says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. This is written in the context of, don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing, but seek first His kingdom. And as Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus, it's very important that we live kingdom-minded. And what do I mean by that? Is we live in a world that is not kingdom-minded. There is two kingdoms in this world. And it is the kingdom of the world, and it is the kingdom of God. To live kingdom-minded is to have in mind the things of the King. Amen. Amen. To have in mind the King's domain, dominion. To have in mind, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom-minded doesn't happen, again, automatically. It is a progressive transformation of our mind, but it is a transformation that must take place. And as we live more and more kingdom-minded, it says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I believe the more we live kingdom-minded, the more the kingdom resources will be available to us. And if you're wondering why sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers, the Bible talks about that. You know, when we pray, and it talks about this in John chapter 14 and on. When we pray, things should actually happen. Amen. I get one amen. Good. Alright, my wife is with me on this one. When you pray, things should happen. If it doesn't happen, you should ask why. Because the scripture clearly says, ask whatever you want in my name, and it shall be done. Amen. So when we pray, and if it doesn't happen, you know, there are teachings in scripture about why prayer isn't answered, or aren't answered. And one of them is simply, you ask because of the wrong motives. And Jesus says, and scripture is very clear, sometimes when we pray, we don't have kingdom-minded motives. And when we do that, it kind of puts, I don't want to say God in a bind, but He does desire to answer your prayers. But at the same time, He does desire for you to become a better person. And sometimes answering all our prayers will make us become just a terrible person. Imagine if all your prayers were answered, how prideful you'd be. there is a place of maturity where God says, you know, here are the kingdom resources. You have grown up. You don't need a tutor anymore. Although we will always have a tutor with us, but there is a time of maturity, and it's like that with real life, right? You know, if you have kids, or if you were a kid once, thanks, Phil, appreciate that smile. And if you have a kid, or if you have a child, and as a child grows up, it's bad parenting to give that child everything that child wants, right? Yeah, yeah, okay, I don't have a child, so I don't know. And growing up, since I was my mom's favorite, I usually got what I wanted. But that's apparently bad parenting. But as the child gets older and more mature, and actually sometimes the child surpasses the parent's wisdom, and I believe it's every parent that the child does surpass the parent's wisdom, you know, the child has more authority. and the child is honored more. Anyways, but what I want to say is, put the kingdom first. Things happening in Oklahoma, where lives are turned upside down. You know, all of our lives at one point or another will be turned upside down. Whether it's physically, emotionally, relationally, financially, things are going to happen. Trouble will come your way. Trouble is not, it doesn't discriminate. Whether you're young, old, rich, poor, male, female, it doesn't matter. Trouble will happen. And when that happens, what will you put first? Amen. You put the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. And I'm not saying it's going to be clean and cookie cutter, and it's going to be like, wow, that was so easy. It will not be easy, but it is promised that things will fall into place. And after you go through the trouble and you look back at it, and if you had the kingdom first, you'll be like, wow, God is proved trustworthy. That's the gospel. You can trust Jesus with your life. You can trust Him. He will save you. Yes, He will save you from hell. But there is a lot of things that leads up to hell that He can save you from. And I believe a lot of us, we might be missing out on that if the only thing we want to be saved from is hell. But God is desiring to save us and put heaven into us, not just us into heaven. And putting God first and learning how to access kingdom resources, learning how to put a demand on heaven is all a process of maturing in the Lord. And this maturing process happens not automatically, but it happens intentionally, and it happens with the help of an advocate. And that's what I want to talk about today, the advocate. But anyways, there's a spiritual principle of honoring. Now, I've said this every week since for like 5 weeks in a row, but I'm going to say it again. In Matthew 10:41, it says, "Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." And this is a spiritual principle of honoring, of welcoming, recognizing a person's calling, and receiving the reward that that person has to offer. And so, for example, if we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the reward is salvation. You know, if in the Old Testament, if you received Jeremiah as a prophet, then you received a prophet's reward that Jeremiah was talking about, warning people about. And it's easy to accept God the Father. It's easy to accept Jesus the Holy Spirit. But what about the Holy Spirit? And so I want to talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit is that He is God. He is God. And we have a theology called the Trinity. And it's talking about three in one and one in three. And just a passage that there isn't a passage that says the Holy Spirit is God, but one that really makes it clear is, I think, Matthew 28:19, when Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's more than simply dabbing them in water. It's immersing them in the person of God the Father, immersing them in the person of Jesus Christ, and immersing them in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to become a disciple, is to be immersed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? John, if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, reading John 14:15-16 will really help. But in About the Holy Spirit, one of the most important thing is that He has a voice. In Hebrews 3:7-8 it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, as He did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. A couple things. As the Holy Spirit speaks, we can harden our hearts to it. And let me just go out on a limb and say, we have all at one point hardened our hearts to the Holy Spirit. None of us can claim perfection, can we? Sinless. We have all at one point, I believe, quenched or grieved the Holy Spirit. And His voice can be rejected. His voice can lead to a hardened heart, but His voice can lead to salvation as well. And I shared last week, the greatest joy in your life will come when you hear the Holy Spirit's voice and you obey it. There is no greater joy than that. There is no greater joy than obedience to the Holy Spirit's voice. And let me tell you, there's no greater grief than rebelling or hardening your heart to the Holy Spirit. It cuts right to the heart. Today's scripture reading was from John 14, verses 15 and on, and let me read that again. It says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. If you love me, keep my commands. If means there are some conditions. Now, I'm not talking about a work-based salvation before you guys tell on me and I get fired. I'm not talking about a work-based salvation. But that if there are certain conditions to be met. Now, we can never earn the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. And there are certain conditions that the Holy Spirit desires and that the Holy Spirit flourishes in. And those are what? Love me and keep my commands. If you love me and keep my commands. Very simple. Many of us, we may say we love Jesus, but we don't keep His commands. Right? And it kind of gives Christianity a bad name when there's people that claim to love Jesus and are just out there wrong. I don't know a better way to put that. But if you love me, keep my commands. And it's not simply, okay, what does the Bible say about commandments? If you love me, keep my commands. It's more, if you love me, obey what the Holy Spirit will tell you. And then He says, I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. That word, another advocate, another meaning similar to Jesus, but different as well. He is a different person. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are one, but they are three. They are three different, but they are one. Another advocate, you guys might have heard the term paraclete. Para means next to. Kaleo is the Greek for call. It's called next to you. Advocate is also a legal term used back then to mean like a lawyer. Someone who will speak on behalf of you in a court of law. And this paraclete, this advocate, will be with you forever. And He is meant to help you. How many of you need help today? All right, two of you, good, three of you. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't for you. Well, the Holy Spirit is here to help. He's here to be with us forever. And is here to help, you know, there are certain things. For example, holy living. Talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit. It's talking about holy living. He'll help you in living in a righteous way. It'll help you in evangelism. It'll help you in building up the church. It'll help you in praying. It'll help you in many ways. It'll help you more in the most important way. It'll help you to know Jesus. It'll help you to encounter God. It'll help you to know the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, these things, I believe, will be impossible. He is also called the Spirit of Truth. Let me continue to read. If you love me, keep my commands, and I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. And let's just stop there. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. It's interesting. I really don't want to offend anyone today, but if I do, I'm sorry. It's interesting that even in the church, the Holy Spirit sometimes is rejected. And can I go out on a limb and say, even in the church, say if the Holy Spirit left, would it make a difference? The Spirit of Truth. Well, what's interesting is the world cannot accept Him, and I don't know if it wants to accept Him. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Now that it neither sees Him. The world, and I'm not saying logic is a bad thing. Logic is an absolutely great thing. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's a necessary thing. But when you start saying things that goes outside the grid of your logic or my logic, it becomes very offensive, right? Does that make sense? So, you know, basically the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept Him because He's weird. That's basically what Scripture's saying. It does. You can't see Him. And so it's outside of your grid. And whatever's outside of your grid is kind of weird. And I believe a lot of times the Holy Spirit is like that. He's grieved because He's perceived as weird. He's perceived as unconventional. He's perceived as illogical. He's perceived as you fill in the blank of whatever offends you. And even, you know, me as a charismatic kind of Christian or growing up in that kind of environment, I go to some places and I'm like, whoa, that's weird. You know? And I judge right away. Maybe that's not the Spirit because it does not fall into my logic, or it doesn't fall into my line of theology, or it doesn't fall into what I'm comfortable with. But the Holy Spirit, something about Him is He likes to stretch the boundary of whatever you're comfortable with. Because He's beyond anything we could imagine. And if we could put him in a box, we would. But he would not stay in a box. He will break out of that as soon as possible. And the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it doesn't see him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. I believe the Holy Spirit a lot of times may be with us, but when we constantly grieve him and quench him, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to live in us. And what happened when the Holy Spirit was in the first disciples? Weird stuff started happening. Let me just tell you. The day of Pentecost, what happened? They all started speaking in weird, babbling in weird tongues, but it led to salvation of 5,000 people. Let me tell you, the disciples, as talented as they were, no way could they speak a different language. And as the disciples lived in the book of Acts, as talented as they were, no way they could pray for someone and the person will be healed. Or a blind person, their eyes will be touched. Or even be bold enough to stand up to some of the religious leaders. What happened to them? They had a helper. They had a helper that spoke through them. They had a helper that was with them. There was a helper that could not be contained, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Truth, He is our advocate. He will be with us. He will be in us if we allow Him to. And I believe that all happens if we seek first the kingdom of God. If we put Him first. The world does not want to put Him first. I don't even think the world wants to put Him second. And let me ask you a question. Are you putting God first? Or even second? Or third? Amen. The dream I had about you, Toshio. Since you're so chatty today. Well, interesting enough, I was just reading and doing about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, about the Holy Spirit, I said He has a voice. Oftentimes, the voice is not recorded in Scripture. But we know that Scripture was written by the Holy Spirit, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired by God, but written by different people. We all know that. Written by Luke, Mark, John, Peter, Paul, James, etc. The Holy Spirit loves speaking, for some reason, through other people. Isn't that amazing? God the Father, He speaks, and the earth trembles. Jesus, He speaks, people fall in love. The Holy Spirit, when He speaks, it's usually through other people for some reason. And if you ever read any of the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit is speaking through the prophets, usually it's poetic. A lot of imagery. He speaks in parables for some reason. He likes to use dreams when He speaks. He likes to use visions when He speaks. Although He does speak straightforward sometimes, but that's usually not the way He speaks. Anyways, this past week I had a dream. I was reading a book about dreams with our small group, and I had a dream about, I think it was about JCCT, and we were surrounding a small pond. I don't know what that represents. Maybe one of you could interpret my dream for me. But I was actually outside the circle, but the members of JCCT were surrounding a small pond, and something exciting happened in Toshio. You kind of jumped up and you stepped in the middle of the pond and you stepped out because you got excited over something. And no one said anything. And then I finally said, "Did you just walk on water?" Because you stepped on the pond and you didn't fall in. You stepped on it and stepped off it. And so I checked like the depth of the pond, see if it was actually deep. And it was actually deep where you stepped on. And so I was like, "Toshio, you just walked on water." And you're like, "Oh," and you did exactly something like that. You're like, "Oh, no," you know, kind of thing. But there was one person that was very skeptical. And he kind of actually left upset. And he was like, "You know, it was probably ice. She stepped on ice." Even though after I checked on it, there was no ice, it was deep. And the feeling I got, though, was just there's a lot of skepticism, even within the church. Perhaps even within JCCT. Well, maybe not a lot. It was only one person that was upset. There was one person that was upset, and then the rest were just, we pretended like it didn't happen, you know? And I don't know if that's God speaking to me about JCCT or not, but, you know, I believe we need to be very intentional and intelligent about when the Holy Spirit moves, and be ready to celebrate if He does move. Be ready to celebrate if He does speak to us in a powerful way, or if He does heal us in a powerful way, or if He does reconcile us in a powerful way. When the Holy Spirit moves, it's so easy to be like, "Oh yeah, you know, that's just God." But as my wife, you know, read today in the Psalms, and it spoken all throughout Scripture, God deserves all the glory and praise. Amen. We're so easy, we're so easy to cheer on our favorite sports team when they do something on TV. But when the Holy Spirit comes up, you know, I'm just like, "Oh yeah, cool." When the Holy Spirit shows up, if you're touched by God, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to celebrate. In fact, it is commanded to praise Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him. It even says, and this is a command, shout for praise. Right? That is not a suggestion. And let me tell you, if anyone shouts here other than Wayne, you'd be like, "Man, that guy's kind of weird." Right? Well, what did I just say? The Holy Spirit, a lot of times, is grieved because, "Oh, he's weird." I'm just trying to be biblical. What do you want me to do? I'm here to teach you the Bible, and the Bible says shout for praise. And a lot of times we are like, "Oh, that's kind of strange," especially since we're Japanese. But that is the Spirit. You honor Him. Imagine how He will honor you back. But if you despise Him, be careful. If you harden your hearts to His voice, you don't want to live with a hardened heart. It's a heavy life to have a hard heart. It's a heart of stone. Well, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just want to say sorry. Forgive us for all the time we grieved you. Forgive us for all the time we quenched you. And we just want to ask that you would fill us again Fill us, Lord, and do with us whatever you desire to do with us. And may we obey you and follow you and honor you as God as you are. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you so much for your long suffering and patience with us. We thank you so much for putting up with us. We just ask, Lord, that you would just give us greater measure of faith, Lord, and remove all the skepticism that has been planted by this kingdom. And may we live by the standard of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.